This is the Branches Podcast. We try to keep it simple in this family of faith. Love God and love people. Let's not make it harder than Jesus intended. If you'd like to know more about our community of faith, you can visit us at www.branchesoc.com.
So as I've shared before, I have gone through a life or death situation and it did not look good. And so I hadn't told many people, but my friend from Africa, my Zambian friend Moffat, was visiting. And so I made sure to step aside to share with him, one, for wisdom and guidance, but also to let him in on what's going on in my life, because we're friends. And so I share this, and I'm accustomed to the American response, which is something like, "Why you? This isn't fair. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this." Moffat's response was really not a response, because he could believe it. He was familiar with it. It didn't surprise him. He lives in a place where food is very hard to come by, where sickness and disease is ravaging, where there is an uptick in criminal activity and corruption. And so for him, he mourned with me, but he didn't feel sorry for me. He understood what James says, is that these trials and these temptations are part of life. In fact, James, who is the brother of Jesus, ends up being the leader for the early church. And he says this to a people who have been beat up, who have been maligned, who are hiding for their lives. And so there's a lot of suffering for the early church. And so he writes to them, not just one church, but to the church in general, as the maybe what you would call a bishop today. He was the boss. And as a human boss, he said, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," notice he doesn't say if, he says when, "it's going to happen. When it does, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Not an opportunity to be happy, an opportunity for joy. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing," not wanting, "needing nothing." And he goes on to unpack that, and he incorporates wisdom, because his whole letter to the church was really a challenge to let's be even more committed to living this life of faith. Let's be even more committed to this life of walking the way. And the beautiful part, as James is sharing this, is that we have one to look to that knows what it is to go through these trials and sufferings, and to perfect it. And it was Jesus. We want to have all of this power. We want to have all of this strength so that trials and suffering and pain can't touch us. But that is the opposite of what we need. I don't fully understand how it works, but I know that Satan worked really hard to get Jesus to leave this life of weakness while he became man, and instead let his divine help him to avoid this suffering and the trials. And Jesus doesn't fall for the bait. We see this temptation in the desert, and Jesus is given situations that I think each of us would go, "That sounds like a good idea. I think I'll let out the divine in me so that I can avoid this." But when we say that God became man, we don't mean that he put on a costume and played the role. He lived it completely. Satan says, you've been fasting for 40 days. You're pretty hungry. Why don't you just do what the Bible says? And you should be able to take these stones and turn them into bread. Then the trials and the suffering, they're gone. But Jesus chose to be fully man without the ability to turn a stone into bread. And he said no. And then he was given another opportunity to avoid suffering. It says that Satan took him to the highest peak. Highest peak. I don't think Jesus was afraid of heights, but at the same time, he's in a precarious situation. And there's so much packed in this temptation. But Jesus, instead, when he's given the opportunity by Satan to show his power, just jump off. You know that the angels will come and catch you. No. No. We don't test the Father. Again, he's given this opportunity to show his superhero-ness. But he chooses to be fully man. So when we say that God became man, it's more than just the physical transformation. It's all that's involved in being human, which is suffering and trials. And then he's tempted. Notice it's a temptation to avoid pain and suffering. Jesus is given another temptation by Satan. And this one is one in which everything will be given to him. All the pain that he sees around him, including his own, he can take away if he would just worship Satan. And of course, his answer again is no. So if Jesus is going to say no to divinity and yes to being human, then of course we should as well, right? And as we look at James's words, as he loves this early church, he loves the people, he's a shepherd. That's why they gave him the role. And as he has this role, he's pleading with them to receive the joy, to be fully human, and to look at the suffering and the trials and the pain with new eyes. To instead look at these troubles as an opportunity. And this opportunity will create endurance and a chance to grow. Now, my understanding of what it means to be human falls short. And I haven't heard or read from anyone else that seems to have it all figured out. But Jesus does. And he chose to go through it. And if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for those of us who have chosen to walk the way, his way, Jesus's way, and to view persecution and pain and trouble differently. We don't have to like it, but we shouldn't be surprised by it. It's part of the human condition, and it will pass, but it has its purpose. I'm looking forward to being able to delve into this a little bit deeper on Sunday, and hopefully you can join us. May God bless you.